We're in the last week of our series on Brand New, which I know is ironic to say it's a brand new series, it's the last week of it. So let me recap a little bit. We started the series at Easter. We talked about how Jesus didn't just come to give us a better life. He came to make us brand new, a brand new person. So this week I'm kind of on my own. I'm bachelor pad, which you might think is an incredible Mother's Day gift to myself. That's been phenomenal. Every year, Katie takes our kids and goes over to see her mom on the Saturday before Mother's Day, and I get the day off. It was great. That's happy birthday, happy Mother's Day, all those good things. But I try to be a good husband. I'm trying to, like, you know, be a better dad and husband. And I decided yesterday I was going to help clean up the house and do some laundry and went to put some dishes away, and I came across this thing. And I was like, I don't know what this is, but I'm a guy. And I started to think, like, I wonder what this could be. Like, this is in the drawer with lots of utensils. It must be utensils. So as I'm looking through, like, there's something about, like, not knowing the purpose of something that intrigues me. So I'm trying to figure out what it is. And I think this part here is like when you have a 2-liter bottle of Coke and the lid's on too tight. So you put it on there and you got some leverage to torque and get it off. And then I started remembering, like, both my grandmas made, like, really, really, really chunky mashed potatoes. So maybe this is a de-chunker. Like, you just sifted through the mashed potatoes and pulled the chunks out. Thanks, Grandma. And this part really got me here. Like, is it a shark fin or, like, is it a really big toothpick? And finally I broke down and I sent a picture to my wife and I'm like, what is this and why is it in the kitchen cabinet? What I didn't know was all the other 5 people in my family love avocados. I think avocados are like eating snot, so I don't eat avocado. But what I learned is this is an avocado tool. It's got different uses. Can't explain them to you. But she kind of walked me through what it is and it got me thinking, like, as we approach today's topic of having a purpose, we have this horrible, like, trouble as humans, our humanity. When we don't know the purpose that something was created, inevitably we'll always misuse or abuse it. Like, if I didn't know what this tool was created for without being able to understand why it was made, there's a good chance, even with watching some YouTube videos, I'm going to use it incorrectly. I'm not going to know what it was used for. I'm going to put it in places and ways that it wasn't designed for. And as we look at this last value that we're looking at in being made brand new, being made with a brand new purpose, it comes with this same kind of question. If God created you on purpose, what are you here for? But why are you really here? And the problem is when we want to know why we're here, it's a question we all wrestle with. We don't go to Google for the answers. We don't go to, like, research a YouTube video. We typically go to other people, either directly or indirectly. And we ask questions like, do you like me? Am I good enough for you? Did I do that the way you like it? Is it good when I do this? Is it good when I say this? Is it good when I wear this? Can we be friends? Can you like my post? Do you find me valuable? Do you approve of me? And we try to find our worth and we try to find our identity and we try to find our purpose on these questions that we ask the people around us, either directly or indirectly. Today in this final part of being made brand new, I want you to understand, like, we have been made brand new and God gives us a brand new purpose for why we exist. Jesus didn't come just to give us a better life, but to make us a new person. Last week we talked about it wasn't just this one-time decision. It's not just that we make the decision and then we're brand new forever. No, he gives us everything we need to walk in and live in this brand new life. And even specifically, like, a brand new way of thinking. How foolish would it be to say you've been made brand new, now think the way you always used to think? The reality is God gives us, he transforms our thinking into this brand new life. So as we unpack today's topic, I want to encourage you that there is a brand new purpose in our brand new lives. We'll start today in Ephesians chapter 2, starting in verse 8. We've read it a couple times in this series already. God saved you by his grace when you believed. And you can't take credit for it. It's a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things you've done so that none of us can boast about it. For we are God's masterpiece. He's created us anew in Christ Jesus so that we can do good things that he's planned for us long ago. We are God's masterpiece. He created us brand new. And if you really want to know why a thing was created, God created us. We are his masterpiece. If you really want to know why a thing was created, the best way to know is to talk to who created it. And we miss this. If we believe that God created us new, we're not an accident. And we believe that God said that we are his masterpiece. Another translation says his workmanship. We might still be a work in progress, but we are God's masterpiece. If we take that scripture seriously, then we ought to be asking God, then why was I designed? Why was I created? What am I here for? And know this, not one time in the history of humanity, not one time in the history of the universe has our God created anything, step back, look at it and thought, wow, that is mediocre. No, everything that God has ever created He's created it to be good. He said, this is good. You are not unnoticed. You were planned for long ago. God thought of you and what you would do in this particular part of your life. He didn't just create us to be along for the ride, to enjoy the journey, but he gave us a purpose. That God wanted you here. In fact, God looked around at all of the creation existing on planet Earth right now and said, you know what the world is missing right now? You. And he created you, designed you, and purposely, intentionally placed you here. So why are we here? A brand new you comes with a brand new purpose. Kind of the central theme passage for this series we've been on found in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, starting in verse 15. It reads this, he died. He died for us. Jesus died for us so that everyone who received this new life will no longer live for themselves. Instead, they will live for Christ who died and was raised for them. So we stopped evaluating others on a human point of view. At one time, we thought of Christ merely from a human point of view. How differently we know him now, if you were here for Easter, how differently do we know a resurrected Savior now? This means anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone, a new life has begun. And all of this is a gift from God who brought us back to himself through Christ. And God's given us the task of reconciling people to him. For God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them, and he gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. So we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. For we speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be this offering for our sin, so that we could be made right with God through Christ. If you've been made new, if you've surrendered to Jesus, accepted him as Savior, if you've decided to follow Jesus, it's a simple yet profound statement. I've decided to no longer live for myself, and instead I live for Christ. How we fulfill our purpose, the reason that God has us on planet Earth for this position, is in how we approach that passage. Am I willing to surrender? My life is no longer about living for myself, but living for Christ. And here's why. Number one, if you're taking notes. The reason we exist is I am Christ's ambassador. The reason we're still here, the reason God has put you on planet Earth for this very moment is we're ambassadors for Christ. If you remember last week, Peter told us, he said, we are foreigners. We don't live here. We don't belong here. We are only here for a temporary time. But while we're here, there has to be a purpose. God does nothing without a purpose. Sometimes we love, as believers, we love to super glamorize or maybe go over the top with this idea of what our calling is or our gifting. The reason we're on the earth for this particular moment. Oh, God, what is the one thing you put me on planet Earth to do? The reality is we want our lives to be meaningful. We want our lives to have value and add value to others. But if you were only put on planet Earth for one thing, what happens after you fulfill that one thing? I mean, if I was only to do this very thing when I was 39 years old, why am I still alive at 46? Like, if you were only here for this one thing, the reality is it's a blanket covering of the reason you're here. For all of your days, from surrender to Christ to going home to heaven, is to be an ambassador. That's an overarching theme. The problem is we want to be important, and we want to stand out, and we want to be somebody, and we want to be unique, and we want to be noticed. The reality is when we read through Scripture, Bible tells us a whole lot more about standing together than standing out. Yes, as followers of Christ, we are called to stand out, different than the world. But as a body of believers, Jesus uses the analogy that we are a body composed with all these different parts. And when all these different parts are working together is when we best represent Jesus. The reality is, I'm learning as I get older, if wherever we focus on one particular part of our physical body, it's probably because that particular part is not working right. So what we do is we work together as a body. Well, then how do I get my name in the paper? And how do I get the attention for being really good at what I did? And how do I get all this attention, this influence, those things? No. We're not living for self, we're living for Christ. And the greatest purpose is that every Christian, every believer is an ambassador for him. No ambassador is more great than another ambassador, and no ambassador is less in value than another ambassador. Ambassador, by definition, if you're wondering, the highest ranking diplomat. A chosen representative of another kingdom or of another country sent by the ruling country or ruling authority to promote, protect the interests of the sending kingdom. The overarching purpose for every believer, it's not a platform, it's not a position, it's not a performance, is that we get to represent the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. That God called us right where we are to represent Jesus to the people who don't know him or don't know him well. The reason God put us here is not to chase down another position or chase down a platform, but to truly represent Jesus, to really and truly follow after him, not to make our life better, not to make our life easier, not to live happily ever after, but to fulfill the purpose of being an ambassador, the reason we're still here, his chosen representatives. I love the way Paul describes it in Colossians chapter 3 and verses 16 and 17. He says, let the message about Christ in all its richness fill our lives, teach and counsel each other with the wisdom he gives, sing psalms and hymns, spiritual songs to God with thankful hearts. And whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. How we live, how we talk, what we do every single day of our lives, whether it's listening, working, worshiping, parenting, exercising, cheering, driving, dating, studying, everything that we do as a representative for Jesus. Because how I live every day, how I live can reveal the richness of Jesus to the world around us, or how I live every day can represent the reason that people don't want to hear about Jesus. Most people that reject Jesus don't do so because of who Jesus claimed to be. They reject Jesus because of those of us who claim to follow him and the way we represent him. And the reality of we have been called, purpose, plan, designated as people to be ambassadors, representative of Christ. And we take that far too lightly. The second thought I want to give you is that we're living this purpose that God's created us. We don't have to do it alone. Number two, I have the authority of the one who sent me. In Luke chapter 10, Jesus, I'll give you some context, is having his disciples to go out and kind of go in different directions and prepare for some travel that they're about to do. And as the disciples are returning, telling about their journey and how they were preparing the way, Jesus pulls them back into a story. We'll go clear back to the beginning. Genesis chapter 3, Adam and Eve were in the Garden of Eden, and the devil came in to tempt them. They disobeyed God, and in doing so, they handed over the authority that God created them to have over the entire planet. So as we fast forward into Luke chapter 4, Jesus goes and he spends some time alone to pray and to fast before his time would come. And Jesus in this conversation gets approached by the devil with a negotiation tactic. And the devil says to Jesus, look, I've got the authority of everything on the earth. And if you stop and worship me, I will give you authority of some of the kingdoms. But Jesus makes this claim and he tells us and he reveals this in Luke chapter 10 that changes the operational environment of the entire world, both physically and spiritually. Luke chapter 10 and verse 19, Jesus says, look, I have given you, talking to his followers, I have given you the power over all the enemy, all the power over the enemy. Jesus is saying several things in this statement. One, he's saying, I've already taken the authority back. It all belongs to me. All authority, we read in several passages, all authority has been given to Christ. And then instead of just keeping it to himself, he deputizes us to walk in that authority over all the power of the enemy. He didn't just keep it for himself. Now, anytime we talk about authority in the spiritual realm, people sometimes get this all like, ooh, that's kind of spooky, Pastor. I don't know if I, so let me see if I can simplify it a little bit. If you've been down the Autobahn, known as 931, just outside the building here, you understand how fast people go. And because we tend to drive fast around here with the people that are working so close, every time I drive by, I worry for those guys, I pray for them, because it's dangerous. They're working right next to the traffic and there's cars going by fast. So there's some police officers out there. And most of the time, the police officers just sit out there with their lights on, trying to remind you, hey, slow down, scoot over, take care of these people that are working here. But every now and then, you'll see one of the officers get out of their car, they'll go up to the intersection, and they'll stop traffic. Now, we know that they're not stopping traffic by brute force. Like, I've seen, so we got some police officers at 10, they're pretty big dudes, but they're not out there stopping the car at 55 miles an hour, right? They're operating in the authority. The weight of the law is behind them. The authority of the entire government of the state of Indiana is behind them. Because they're operating in this authority, they can put their hand up and stop the car, or they can motion you on and away you go. Our brand new purpose is not contingent on our brute force. In fact, I would argue this. If you're made new in Christ and you're operating and doing things under your own power, it's not really part of God's divine design for you. But yeah, good things can be happening, but God's purpose for our life requires God's authority and God's spirit to make it happen. Now, there's not a single driver out there who's going to recognize my authority. You know, like if I was to run out there today and go out and just throw my hand up there, go out tomorrow when traffic's flying by on their way to work and be like, stop in the name of Luke. And people might be like, that's a big dude right there. He'll probably do some damage to the hood of our car. Let's go around him. But I don't have the authority to make them stop. There's no obligation for them to stop. Jesus has imparted his authority that he took back into us, power to push back against the enemy, power to stop the plans and the work of the enemy, power to allow us to succeed in the purpose and the plans that God has put in place for us. Can I just offer that as believers, we take that far too lightly, that God has given you his authority to push back the power of the enemy. And when you feel like the attacks of the enemy are coming in against the purpose and plans that God has put you on planet Earth to do, walk in his authority, push back the enemy, take back the ground that he's taken from you and press forward into uncharted territory. Be a believer who walks in that authority, who operates in that authority, who unholsters his authority, knowing that Jesus has granted you the success in the plans and purposes he's already designed you to accomplish. Now, why would Jesus even do that? Because you have a purpose. We read it already. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 20. So we're Christ's ambassadors. We got it. God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. That's why we're ambassadors. To find those who are far from him and pull them in. To find those who are growing up in faith and to pull them in. One of the ways we get this so wrong is we see so many people who will leverage the authority that God's given or leverage the truth and the principles that God's given for their own personal gain. They'll leverage God's authority or the position or the platform they've given them and apply the principles of God to build their own kingdom. And we see so many leaders that apply the principles and the promises of God to enlarge their own influence or their own affluence. Or they work really hard to walk in God's authority just so they can make their own life a little bit better. Listen, God is not anti his followers having a great life. But that's not the primary driver and why we're still here. If God's only concern was you having a good life, wouldn't heaven be so much better? And if that was true, wouldn't God just scoop you up and pull you into heaven so you wouldn't have to endure the circumstances of this earth the moment you put your faith in Jesus? Yet we're still here. And being his ambassador, God is making his plea through you to people who are far from him. What's that plea look like? Look what Jesus has done in me. Look at where I was and what God has pulled me through. Look at how God stepped into my mess and saved me from it. Look at how God came in and showed up and showed out. Look at where God came through and gave me the authority to overcome whatever it is, the challenge. There are far too many believers, far too many Christians that walk in the authority, that have enough of the truth of the scripture, that can quote enough passages. But rather than submit to the call of no longer living for self, we leverage everything God's given us to make my life easier and more comfortable. That's not the design God has for the plans and purposes of our life. It's easier to tear somebody else down. We point out everybody else's faults and we talk about them and we pull them down and we judge them and insist that they must change so that then they can get accepted by Christ when we know that's wrong. The reality is it's just easier to make other people look bad than allow the Holy Spirit to have the space to transform me. So instead I yield. This life is not about me. It's about living for Christ. And I'm going to live in such a way that I can represent him. And my purpose is to speak for Christ with all of the authority he's given, to plead with people, not demand that they straighten their life out so they can get right with God. No, they come to him that he can transform them. We plead, come back, there's a better way. We plead, look, you're headed to a way of destruction and death. That's not the way to life. Come back. We plead, listen, God has got more in store for you. He's got plans and purposes ahead for you. Come back to the Father. It's such an incredible opportunity and responsibility at the same time. Jesus didn't give us his authority to shape our own kingdoms. Jesus didn't give us authority to build our own preferred behaviors. He didn't give us our authority to compete with our morals versus your morals. Jesus says, I want you to represent me to the people you intersect paths with, to plead with people, to plead for people, to plead to people. God loves you. He gave everything to save you. He wants to bring you back. Come back home. Why we're here. Our brand new purpose to be Christ's ambassadors, our brand new permission that we live in the authority over the power of the enemy, and our brand new assignment. Number three, I wasn't saved by my good works, but I was saved for good works. The very first passage we read this morning, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, God says, God saved you by his grace when you believed. You can't take credit for this. This is a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done. So none of us can boast about it. Salvation is a free gift. God's grace I didn't earn. There's nothing I can do to posture myself in a position where I've earned God's grace. I mean, the flip side of that, imagine the pride that would build up. If I could work hard enough, do enough good, where I could finally cross that finish line and say, I've earned God's grace. What have I done? I've turned my life into a self-righteous life. Look at me. I don't need a savior. Look at me. And every time I make the world out to look at me, I've made myself superior to everybody else. If we're going to receive the gift of God's grace, it only comes from the posture of humility. And it only remains in the posture of humility. Nothing I do is representative of how good I am. A representation of the goodness of our God, the fullness of our God, the joy of our Lord. It's not a reward for what I've done. It's a gift, an undeserving gift. Verse 10, for we are God's masterpiece, which he has created us anew in Christ Jesus, so we can do the good things that he planned for us long ago. So we can, the result, the response, our reaction to the awareness of the gift, to the reception of the grace, is so we can do good works. We did a whole series a few months back ago just on the idea of gratitude. And one of the truths we talked about was if I don't express my gratitude, what I'm really expressing is ingratitude. If I'm grateful for who you are and what you've done and what you've done for me, but I don't express that, the only thing you can translate that to is ingratitude. You might make an assumption I'm grateful for it, but if I've not expressed it to you, the only conclusion is that you're ungrateful for what you've done and what you've done for me. So we can't earn the gift. Grace is not something we can obtain. It's only something we can receive. And out of the awareness of the gift that I have received, well, I couldn't make enough macaroni cards to really pay God back. And I couldn't write enough thank you cards to really make it happen. God's like, hey, don't wear yourself out. I've given you the instruction. If you want to show me you're grateful for the gift I've given you, serve people. If you want to display that you're grateful for what I've done for you, give to people. If you want to demonstrate that you're grateful for this gift of saving you, put action steps to your faith and help other people. God created us brand new in Christ that we could do the good things that he planned for us. Brand new purpose, Christ's ambassador. Brand new permission, walking in the authority. Brand new assignments. In every season of your life as a believer, God gives us an assignment. Sometimes those seasons are really long. Sometimes those seasons are really small. Our assignment is the thing, the spiritual thing God has given you to do in the moment that you're in. Life is filled with seasons. Easy examples. You might be in a season where, like my kids, you would say, you're becoming an adult by being trapped in your parents' home. Maybe your season is you're raising some kids at different seasons of their life. Maybe you're in a season of building a business. Maybe you're in a season of getting an education. Maybe you're in a season of stepping into retirement. Whatever season you're in, God has an assignment, a spiritual ordained, a God-planned, purposeful assignment for the season that you're in. For such a time as this, that we would do what God has called us to do in this season. If I can just demystify this a little bit. Sometimes we believe that thing God's called us to do, one day you're going to step out of your front door, the heavens are going to open up, a light shone down from heaven, and the voice of the Lord, this is my son, of whom I am well pleased, who will get to play 18 holes of golf today. Oh, that must be my assignment. Perfect. No, it's not like that at all. Yes, God has given you a specific assignment, but it's not this incredible open up the heavens, the glory shown down from the Lord. No, oftentimes it's a realization of in today, throughout today or this week or this month or this season, God has given a specific assignment. I had a gentleman come up to me after the last gathering and he says, Luke, I know what my assignment is. God called me to be the thorn in your flesh. I kicked him out, didn't let him have breakfast. Like, that's not okay. We've got one of those. I don't need any more of those. No, in every season of life, brand new purpose, brand new calling. Yeah, but I've got this one thing, Pastor. There, I know. I've heard. We glamorize our calling. There's got to be this one thing that God put me on planet Earth for. Well, if there's only one thing, then what do you do after you've completed that one thing? No, in every season, there is an assignment that God has planned for you. And sometimes those assignments are awesome and amazing, and you can feel them, and you can feel the weight of them. And sometimes, more oftentimes, those assignments are so simple, we overlook them. Well, I can't just be called to serve in the nursery, Pastor. That's below me. I can't just be called to pray for someone in this season. That's something I could do anytime. There's got to be something that gets some wow factor. My calling has to have a wow factor. Can I just argue that we try to judge our calling based on what we see other people doing or a platform or position or performance that we admire too, And we often miss out on the very thing that God's called us to in this season. I love the way Jesus explains it. Matthew chapter 25, he tells a parable. He tells a story to explain a kingdom principle. He talks about this businessman is preparing to go away. So he brings in three of his crew. He gives each of the three some resources to manage. And then he leaves. And when he returns, he comes back to each one of his three crew members and says, what did you do with the talent that I gave you to steward or to oversee while I was there? And we read the story. Two of them were very resourceful with the talent they had been given. And because they were resourceful with it, they expanded it, they enlarged it, and God rewarded them for it. But to the one who took the talent he was given and buried it in the backyard, he was punished. He faced the penalty for it. Now, I want you to notice this. If you know the story, the reward was not contingent on what this guy did in comparison to the other two. The reward was given on what you did with what you were given. See, God has given you, we'll talk to moms in the room, it's Mother's Day. God has given you some kids. That's your assignment. Your assignment might be when they're little, it might be when they're old, it might be when they're grown. You have an assignment. Dads as well. But when you are given an assignment, the assignment was not comparison to every other mom in the room parents their kids. And we spend so much time as human looking on the social medias and looking around the room and looking at what we see, the highlight reels of everybody else at the softball field, thinking, oh my goodness, I'll never be as good as them. And we get so down on ourselves. Can I just maybe offer you some good news or maybe some challenging news? God is only watching what you do with the assignment he's given you and not what you do in comparison to somebody else's assignment. Thank the Lord, he did not give you those kids to raise. Can I get an amen? Mine might be some trouble, but oh my goodness, you don't know what happens outside of the 3-minute video on TikTok with the rest of their day. There are some things going on. And in every season of life, there are incredibly important things to do if you have the brand new perspective to see it. Maybe you're in the raising some infants season. And they're cute and they're sweet and they basically eat and sleep and poop, and that's great. But one day soon they're going to be in the toddler season, and in the toddler season they terrorize your house. And then soon after that, they're going to be in the preteen season. And when they're in the preteen season, they just terrorize your emotions. And then after the preteen season, they're in the teen season where they terrorize your vehicles. And after the teen season, they go to the parenting adult children season, which I thought I was doing really good at until I learned you still have to get your adult children Easter baskets. And apparently I failed. And there's so many more seasons. But I want you to understand a couple things. In the season that you're in, don't put so much pressure on yourself that you think if you mess this up, you've totally ruined your kid. Like, there's a really good chance that the season they're in right now is not the pivot moment of their life. And if things don't go perfect, all is lost. No, there's another season coming. But don't let that be an excuse where you can hide behind, well, this season was hard, so I'll wait till the next one. No, every season's hard because anything worth doing is difficult. God didn't promise us an easy life, but he promises everything we need to do the thing he's called us to do today. And you might be in a season where life feels hectic right now. And you might be in a season where you feel like you're just barely treading water. Or you might be in a season where you feel like you're really making some progress. Whatever season you're in, know that God has strategically, purposely, intentionally placed you on purpose, with purpose, for purpose. God assigns you a mission while you're still here on planet Earth. In this season, you are God's masterpiece. Being God's masterpiece doesn't mean that you're perfect. In fact, if you know much about fine art and fine sculptures, nothing's ever perfect. But oftentimes, it's the imperfections that give it character and make it unique. You're not perfect, but you're God's masterpiece. I'm not perfect, but I'm God's masterpiece. And in this season, I have an eternal, long-going, supernaturally designed, perfectly timed assignment for right now. Created brand new. To do the things that God has planned for you to do from long, long ago. Right, Pastor, I get it. I've heard these sermons before, but tell me like the mystical, magical, special thing. What's the thing? What's my thing? What's the one thing? Can we just address this in 2 Corinthians 5:15? We read it already. Those who receive this new life no longer live for themselves. Instead, they live for Christ. My purpose, my permission, my assignment is all encompassed with my life is not to draw attention to me. And my life is not to put myself on a pedestal. My life is to surrender it to Jesus and to live for him. Well, what's that look like? Let's just simplify it. It's in your notes. Save people. Serve people. If we could summarize the Christian life, save people, serve people. If we could summarize our assignment, the purpose we exist, save people, serve people. I mean, think about it. If you're a parent, if you're parenting your kids right now, what are you doing? You're serving your kids. If you're a leader right now, if you're leading people, what are you doing? You're serving the people you have influence with. If you're an entrepreneur, what are you doing? You're serving your customers. If you're a supervisor, what are you doing? You're serving your employees. If you're a coach, you're serving your players. If you're a church member, you're serving those who are lost by seeking and pleading with them to come back. Or you're serving those who have been found to equip them to go and to do their own ambassador. Serving is what God calls us to do. And I can't think of a better illustration on planet Earth than the serving heart of a mother that will serve when it's so hard to do, and serve when there's back talking and backbiting, that will serve when they're exhausted. Jesus called us all to serve others like this. What you do with what God has given you is an act of worship, because serving is an act of worship. Doing with what God has planned for you to do in this season of life is an act of worship. It's a selfless response to the grace and the gift of Jesus. Can I just offer the other is true? If you're sitting on the assignment that God has given you to do is really just an act of selfishness. That God called us to live for him, not for self. Pastor, I don't know if I know what my assignment is. Can I just maybe offer you a rubric, a few questions? Because I know in these questions is a simple thought of what God's called you to do in this season. And I would encourage you, got a spot there on the bottom of your notes. Maybe one of these four questions stands out. Maybe it's a question you need to spend some time wrestling with God on. But what is that assignment he's called you to in this season? The first question, what are you passionate about? I don't mean like the Colts or the Cubs, because they're the Cubs and they're going to let you down. What are you really eternally passionate about? You might call it like this. What's that holy discontent stirring up on the inside of you? That's not right. I'm not okay with that. I think I could help make it better. You know, that person needs another opportunity. No one's giving them an opportunity. I'm going to intervene. I'm going to stand in the gap for them. Man, there's some things going on. I want to right some wrongs in the world around me. What is that thing that stirs you up like Popeye getting some spinach, like I can't stand anymore? Second question, what are you good at? And I know that's oversimplified. What are you good at that you don't necessarily think of yourselves as good at? Like, what's that supernatural thing that God has imparted inside of you and you didn't think you were very good at it? But every time you turn around and look, it seems like what you said, you don't know where those words came from, but they really impacted somebody. Or you got up and did something, you served in such a way, and you didn't think it was a big deal, but they were really blessed by it. What's that thing that you're good at? We call them spiritual gifts. If you don't know what your spiritual gifts are, on our app and on our website is a quick spiritual assessment that kind of gives you a better understanding of what some of those spiritual gifts that God might have been equipping you in this brand new you to be able to do. And can I just offer this disclaimer? Your spiritual gifts have very little to do with making your life easier or more comfortable. In fact, they're kind of irrelevant. There might be a reward that comes, a fulfillment that comes when you serve other people, but that's not why God gives them to you. The fact of the matter is that God gives us spiritual gifts that we can help other people, to serve other people. It's the reason that someone can come to you when you're exhausted, when you're beat down, when you're worn out, and they can ask for help, and you can say things, you can teach things, you can encourage things, you can show hospitality, even from deep down in the valley where you didn't know you had it in you because your gift was not for you in the first place. Your gifting is for someone else. What is it that you're good at? What is it that you're passionate about? The third question, will it help people? If the answer to that question is, well, not as much as it's going to help me, that's not God's calling for your life in this assignment. It's okay that things are getting better. It's okay to read and study your Bible so that you know more about it. But the reason I want to know more about my faith is so I can get closer to God. But if the ultimate gift was to get closer to God, why wouldn't he just take me to heaven? No, as I get closer to God, I get better at being an ambassador for Christ. Is this going to help people? Is this thing that God's called me to do, is it going to help people? If it's a no, it's not of the kingdom. But if it's a yes, then it might just be the very assignment God's given you for this season of life. And the last question, where's there a need? But we love to be inventors and creative minded and think outside of what everybody else is doing. And we sometimes want to fabricate needs just so we can step in the gap and be the savior of the moment. Can I just offer, maybe the greater need is to look around the needs around you. And if you're sitting on the sideline, I promise there's an assignment in the season that you might think is too simple to step into. But if you see a need, God might have positioned you in this moment to call and to step into the simplified. In every season of life, there is an assignment. As long as you're breathing on planet Earth, God has an assignment for you. Not just that perfect, singular, one time, oh man, this is a good moment. But every season, what's the need that I can help to meet? What's the burden that God has stirred up inside of me that I can help someone? What am I passionate about? Where have I seen fruit from where God's moving? Where is there a need that I can step into? And if I can just offer, when we can see this brand new life through a brand new perspective, that changes the way we approach everything. Because then, mom, you're not just a stay-at-home mom. You're not just a diaper changer. You're not just preparing meals. You're imparting life and building faith to a tiny human. And you're not just a coworker or a factory worker. You're not just someone who walks in to punch the clock. You're not just someone who goes through the motions. No, wherever your feet would set, you're an ambassador going in behind enemy lines to plead with people, come back to God. And you're not just a student. You're a covert operative who's pleading with the people that God has placed you in circles with to bring them back, to bring them in, to encourage them to come to know the goodness of our God. And when you show up, hope shows up. And when you walk in, love enters the room. And when you speak up, you speak in the authority of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords with the compassion of drawing people to his goodness, his greatness, our Heavenly Father. Brand new purpose, brand new authority, brand new assignment every single day. So let's live every day like it matters, because it does. Let me pray with you. God, I thank you for today. God, I thank you for this incredible gift. May we not overlook it, take it for granted, or take it lightly. There is nothing we could have done to deserve this, and yet somehow, God, you said, I'm going to give it anyway. Thank you for your grace. I thank you for your love. I thank you for your forgiveness. But God, let us not just be a people who receive that and then go on about our business. Let us be a people who walk in the authority you have given, who walk in the passion and the purpose that you have established, who walk in the plans that you have prepared from long, long ago. God, let us be a people who walk out this brand new life with brand new purpose, with brand new passion, impacting every life we intersect. Jesus, we thank you for this gift. In your name we pray.